Many years ago, in my church, there was a guy who we knew about, we'd heard about, because his mum was in one of our church life groups, and they had all been praying that this guy who was walking away from the Lord would come back to his faith. And so he was in church this particular night because his sister, who was involved in the church, was getting water baptized. So being a good brother, he came along to support her and watch her get water baptized. And at the end of the water baptisms, the pastor who was conducting the baptisms leaned back against the tank and invited anyone else who felt compelled to take this important step and get water baptized. So Tony yells out, "That's me." He rips off his t-shirt and runs out the front, jumps in the tank and gets water baptized. Completely comes back to Jesus and years later became my brother-in-law, but also the executive pastor of Life City Church in Canning Vale. And so that's Tony's story. And when my sister was recalling that story to me, she said, "Don't forget to tell them that at the time he was only about 7.5 stone and he was very skinny. And so to rip off his t-shirt, there wasn't a lot under there." That's just a side note. Okay. But the incredible thing about the story, and if Tony were here and he were to actually tell it himself, was that when he entered into that room that night to watch his sister get water baptized, it was not remotely in his thinking that he would be compelled to respond to the Holy Spirit that was working actively in his heart and life and do something so radical as to jump up and say, "That's me." And literally he ran because I was there and I saw him. And that was the prompting of the Holy Spirit on his life. Amen? And, you know, that was a significant moment for him because his whole life turned around and changed as a result of that, "I've decided to follow Jesus." Yeah? There's another guy called Rod who up until a point he'd been a Christian for several years. He came from a traditional background and he didn't really think it was that necessary to get water baptized. And so he's attending what was then Canning Vale AOG Church and they're having this water baptism on that particular evening. So Rod comes along just to attend and while he's listening to all of the testimonies of the people being water baptized, the Holy Spirit starts to impact his heart and he starts to realize and have this personal revelation, as it were, of how important water baptism is. So at the end, this is several years later from Tony, at the end of the baptisms, the pastor makes a final call for anyone else who felt compelled to be water baptized. What does Rod do? He responds, stands up, walks out the front and gets totally water baptized with his clothes on, nothing to change into. Yeah? That man happens to be my husband. And so water baptism, my personal experience of seeing my brother-in-law and my husband both have this compulsion. They actually felt compelled. So much so, and may I say that both of these gentlemen are not up front. They're actually quite low-key guys. So we knew when that happened, it had to be the Holy Spirit that was actually at work, actively prompting them, compelling them to go and obey the command of the Lord and to get water baptized, to say, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." And so it would be really easy for us this morning, for those of us maybe who are in church on a very regular basis, to miss this huge significance of what it means to be water baptized. And just to say, ah, yeah, come to church, it's another water baptism. It's a tradition. That's what we do here. It's just a tradition of Christianity. But you know, the reality this morning is that there is a deep symbolism to the core of our faith that is embedded in water baptism. This is actually, for those who are experiencing this morning, this is a defining moment. So let's be clear, because sometimes there's a lot of confusion that surrounds this whole point that brings you to water baptism. Let's be clear, firstly, what baptism is not. Baptism is not a rite of purification for Christians. Yeah? Only Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. So when you get water baptized, you are not forever cleansed, and you still have the choice of sin. It's not a cleansing ritual, but baptism is a way to demonstrate the spiritual reality that Jesus has accomplished through the cross in your life. You are telling the world publicly what Jesus has done through a physical picture of a spiritual reality. Can I say that again? Through a physical picture of a spiritual reality. You are symbolically identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. This is what new life in Christ looks like. So the best way that I can explain this is by using my wedding ring, which is on my left hand. I wear this ring as an outward sign of an inward commitment to my husband. My wedding ring publicly tells people that I have committed my whole life to a relationship with him. I have entered into a covenant of marriage where I love him, honour him, serve him in many demonstrations of love and commitment through the years. So that deep devotion, those feelings that I have for my husband in my heart are publicly shown to the world through the outward sign of this ring that I wear on my left hand that everyone can clearly see. Bit hard for those down the back. I could say quite simply, just to sum it all up, I'm with Team Rod. I'm completely committed to no other man but Rod. I place my allegiance to him, and I daily choose to align myself with him and him only. I defend him. I am loyal to Rod, and I'm on his team. I'm on Team Rod. In the same way, today, those of you who are being baptized are declaring publicly that you are with Team Jesus. Whose team am I on? I'm on Team Jesus. Yeah. So the deep, devoted feelings that you have when you accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Saviour mean that you are completely dedicated and devoted to him and him alone. Amen? Amen. You serve him, you honour him, you daily choose to align yourself with Jesus and Jesus only. You are loyal and faithful to him in the way you live your life and the choices that you make to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus. And what you're saying today, those of you who are being water baptized, is I want to be identified with Team Jesus. I belong to his team and I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. So I don't know about you, but I know there's a lot of people that often say, so why? What's the why of water baptism? Why should you get water baptized once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? So for those of you who love to take notes and those of you who like to be able to take something solid away with you, I'm going to give you the first reason why water baptism is so incredibly important. Because it's a demonstration of our obedience to the Lord Jesus. And there is an actual commandment that explains this, and it's found in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now let's get a context for this conversation that happens after Jesus has risen, after he's been crucified and he has died for our sins and he's risen from the dead and he's with his 11 disciples. And so he has accomplished salvation for all mankind. Now he's giving his disciples the mandate for the future, the what next. So his instruction to them looks like this. First of all, go. Tell everybody about Jesus. Then when they commit their life to him, the very first move is to water baptize them. And then get them to obey all my commands for living a Christian lifestyle. So to become a Jesus follower is to give your whole life to trusting Jesus, devoting your life to learn and obey his teaching and following his example on how to live a Christian lifestyle. You know, God actually marks his people by baptism. By getting baptized, we are, as I said earlier, putting on a t-shirt that says Team Jesus. We are playing by his rules, not our own set of rules, and we are following his commands, his guidebook for life through his word, through the Bible. So this morning we have all these wonderful people who are publicly committing themselves to Christ by being immersed in water. They've repented, they've given their lives to Jesus, and baptism is the first to do. The second why water baptism is the second why is that you publicly profess faith in Jesus. If we have a look in Acts 2, we see that Peter preaches the gospel to a crowd of 3,000 people. And what happens, of course, is they all repent. They give their lives to Jesus. As soon as they have done this, they say, "Okay, so we've given our lives to Jesus. What next? What should we do now? What do we do now? We've never done this before." And Peter responds to that crowd in Acts 2:41. He says, "So those who received the word were baptized, and there were about 3,000 souls." Yeah? Salvation, giving your life to Jesus. Next step, what to do? Baptism. And we see that the receiving of the word, the receiving of Jesus into our life and being baptized go hand in hand. All those who embraced the gospel were baptized. It was that simple. It wasn't complex. There wasn't a lot of detail to it. It was all about following Jesus. So those on the day of Pentecost proclaimed their embrace of Christ by being publicly water baptized. And as we're going to see, for those of you who've maybe never seen a water baptism before, baptism is visible. It's tangible, it's public, and in a way, it's a dramatic expression of faith in Christ. Yeah, it's obvious, it's memorable, it's dateable. You get soaked, and everyone present sees you go under and come up out of the water. So can I say to all of you wonderful people who are being baptized today that declaring your faith in this way will help to deepen your faith? Because sharing your faith through this physical act will strengthen your resolve to follow Jesus. Yeah? You've got to be brave to step up and publicly declare your faith. Yeah? Now, the third why of being water baptized is to commit to Christ's people, to this community of believers. So we saw that in Acts 2 verse 41 on the day of Pentecost, that those who received the word were baptized and added to the church. Yeah? Added to the church. So by getting baptized today, you step out of the world into the church. And you are declaring your loyalty not only to Jesus, but to his church. It's your new family. And this commitment to God's people alters the fabric of your life. And this is how it alters the fabric of your life. We read in Acts 2, verse 42 to 46, the way that your lifestyle completely changes. And we see this through what happens with these 3,000 people. The whole church in Jerusalem, including these 3,000 who joined the church by baptism on Pentecost, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to praying together. They shared their lives and their possessions, and even sold off property in order to give the proceeds to the believers in need. They prayed and ate together daily. The fruit of their commitment to one another was a rich, inviting communion with one another, a communion that inspired awe in outsiders. So what happened, what that looked like was that people who were not people of faith looked at this community of believers and said, hey, I like what's going on in there. I like the way that they've got each other's back. I like the way that when one of them's in trouble or struggling, they all come around and help them, not just by patting them on the back and saying, you know, I'm praying for you, see you later. They actually get their hands dirty. When you're in a community of believers, you get your hands dirty. Yeah? And what you do is you come alongside. You don't judge how people should be living, you actually act. Yeah? And you know, the Christian life is not meant to be lived in private. It's not meant to be lived in isolation. Baptism brings your life into the light of the church's loving concern. When we see these people today, yeah, maybe you, some of them you will have never actually connected with, even though we come to the same church. But when you see them, you've got an extra eye on them. You're going to say that word of encouragement, yeah? You're going to actually be there if you see that maybe they're having a down day. So baptism sets you within a strengthening and a sustaining community of God's people. And we can see the practical outworking of that in the way that when we're part of a, say, a connect group, for those of you who have been part of a real life connect group, and you come along on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night and you've got a need, the first thing that your small group is going to do is they're actually going to come around you and they're going to help you. For example, in ways like cooking you a meal, picking up your kids from school, or inviting you over to their home some other night for a meal just to show their love, their hospitality, and their friendship and support. Yeah? There are so many different expressions of what it looks like to be in a community of believers. Maybe today even you've walked into the foyer and you need some sort of practical help. Maybe you need help on finance, on budgeting. Maybe you're having real genuine troubles with your kids. Well, today after the service, over a cup of tea, you can actually get some advice, and maybe the people that you're sitting with may not have that specific advice, but you can say, hey, do you know somebody who could help me with this, or I need some advice there. This is a place where we're continually supporting, and not just about the spiritual aspect, but also the very practical lifestyle, daily living stuff. Yeah? Now, I described earlier to you that the actual act of baptism is dramatic. It's not low key. It's full on. It's public. This isn't at the back of the church quietly happening as you go out and have a cuppa. It's full on. It's happening. It's confronting. And you know, one of the greatest examples of this dramatic expression is seen in the Apostle Paul's life. So picture this, if you will. Here is a guy who is actively opposed to Christians. He devotes his life to openly, aggressively persecuting, torturing, seeking out those who have faith in Jesus and persecuting them. Then he's out, he's on the road, and he's on the way to a town called Damascus, and he has this supernatural encounter with God. And he is radically converted and becomes a passionate believer of Jesus. That's pretty dramatic. Yeah? In one single day, the whole course of his life is going one way. And then it completely shifts, supernaturally turns around. And he goes from persecuting Christians to passionately loving Christians and believing in Jesus. Pretty dramatic. We then see in Acts 9, 10 to 21, that after he's had this huge transformation in his life, the very first act of obedience, somebody tell me, is water baptism. Let's pick up the story from verse 17. So Ananias left and entered the house. He's been told by Jesus to go to the house where Paul is. Then he placed his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul," as he was known then by Saul, "the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you can regain your sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit." At once something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. You ready? Then he got up and was baptized. Talk about drama. Wow. What a day in the life of a man who was persecuting Christians, finds himself dramatically being fully immersed, probably had not a lot of idea of what was happening, but he knew he had to do it because he was compelled, yeah? And he finds himself fully immersed in water in obedience to following Christ. Wow. When God comes into your life, it's dramatic. It changes everything. Because it's a transformation. It's a turning away from the way you were living to turning to live a completely different way of life. And be under no illusion that if you think you can keep holding on to all the stuff from your previous life, it's just not going to work. It's just not gonna work. So for all of you today that are being baptized, there is also a great sense of belonging that is coming your way. Because what you're saying to Jesus as you get water baptized this morning is, and also you're saying it to all of us here, that your position and your attitude is, "Count me in. I have decided to follow Jesus and I'm not turning back. There is nothing for you back there. My allegiance is with Team Jesus and I'm identifying myself with his team. I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me." You know, I just want to say to you before I hand back to Pastor David, I just want to say to you this. That just like I mentioned about when I told you the story of my brother-in-law, Tony, do you know that he was marked by Jesus? When he responded in the way he did, he was a very introverted person. He used to go to work, he used to come home. He was a very isolated person. But you know, when he responded as he did that day and jumped up and said, "That's me," his life was never the same again. And what God did was he took his life and he had a call on his life. He had a destiny on his life. And what happened was what God had in mind for him was so diverse from a very low-key career in customs, which is what he was living. And what happened was this very shy, quiet person started, first of all, to run his own connect group. And then he started to count the offering at church. And then it went from there and there because the call of God was on his life. And I want to say to those of you who are getting water baptized, after you have been water baptized, God is going to be at work in your life. He has called you. You have been chosen and he knows you by name. And this morning, as you do this act of obedience, you don't have any idea what God has in mind for your life. Yeah? But you've been called to greatness. Yeah? And I'm just so full of faith at how God is going to use those of you who are being water baptized. In our second service, we have some children who are being water baptized. And I was just thinking this morning, I wonder what God has in mind for these children. Yeah? So, Pastor David, I'm going to hand back to you now and let you host the rest of our service. But can I just pray before we do that? Father, we just pray that every person in this room would know that they are called and they are chosen. And, Father, that you have marked them for greatness. So I just commit this water baptism to you and the candidates to you. Let it be a Holy Spirit encounter with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.